walk by my spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. That is an incredible statement. Because he says, if you will, I will. He says, there is a guarantee of what I will do in your life if you walk in this kind of relationship with me. I want to tell you, God doesn't want you living out a frustrated life of defeat and discouragement and self-disgust. That is not his plan. He's aware of those problems. He said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's always been that powerfully motivating verse for me, is saying, if I don't got abundant life, it's not his fault, because he has it. I need to release his will into my life. Friends, we are in a war, and in a war there are casualties. We are in a battle, and your Heavenly Father has provided every spiritual resource you need to be victorious. If you're not experiencing that, don't be mad at Him. Draw near to Him. Find out what you're missing. We can be transformed by truth if we'll receive it. That's what we've been working on these last 5 weeks. And so today I want to talk to you about the plan that he has, because you have to be yielded to what his spirit wants to do. We have to be people who will be receiving the spirit's teaching. All right? And you think about this. If Jesus Christ taught a class, how to live the Christian life, would you come? Oh man, we would sign up for that in a heartbeat, isn't that right? John 13 to John 17 is the class. It is right there. In fact, he goes through it again, Romans 3, Romans 8, goes through it again in the book of Ephesians. It is God's plan for how you live the Christian life. And so right in the middle of this, there's a key instruction. I can't give you the whole plan, and I certainly can't give you everything about the Spirit today. I could tell you that I read it all again this last week just to say, okay, Lord, what is it that you have said about your Spirit to absorb that truth and to be able to share with you from a heart of fullness? But receiving the Spirit's teaching is crucial to walking with your Spirit. So turn with me, if you would, to John 14, because God has a victory for you in your relationship with Him. And that may not be a very good relationship right now. That may not be anything more than an acquaintance. That might be a point of irritation in your life right now. But God has something of a blessing for you today. I really believe that. John 14, beginning with verse 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples in that upper room, and he tells them this. He's about to leave, and he tells them this. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will behold me no longer, but you will see me. And because I live, you will live also. And in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. He said, I will ask and he will give. Isn't that an amazing conference that Jesus Christ had? He knew exactly. He said, I will ask the Father and the Father will give. I hope you're growing in your confidence in your prayer life, that you have an access to the Father through Jesus Christ, just like this. He says, I will ask, he will give. How could he be so confident? Because he knew what he was asking was what the Father wanted to do. And I'll save that whole message on prayer for another time. But that's a key issue of your walk with the Spirit. But he says, I'm going to ask for another helper. Now, by another, it's of the same kind as I. I will ask for him to send you someone just like me. An advocate, a counselor, a teacher, a helper. And so this passage declares this, that the Spirit of truth indwells believers forever as a tutor. That's his plan, is to come and indwell the believer forever as a tutor to guide you into the way of truth, to guide you into a personal relationship with God that he wants to bless you with. God loves you and gave you a helper. Now, all of us have had those experiences either with our children or with ourselves where somebody has offered us help, particularly family sometimes, and we have had that experience. I don't need your help. You know what I'm talking about? And it's kind of cute to see when a child's young and they're wanting them to grow up and you want them to develop on their own. But the father says that he says, we need his help. And Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so it's important for us to realize that God, out of love, gave us himself again. In spirit form, available to us always. You know, one of those verses that has always kind of perked my mind is when Jesus Christ said, it is to your advantage that I go away. He says, it will be better for you that the Holy Spirit comes than that I'm here. And I would say for most of us, if we say, hey, would you like to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit or would you like to have Jesus physically present? You know, and I mean, that's not fair to do one of those kind of setups, but just play with me for a while on that. All right. What he says is it would be better to have the Spirit. Why? Because it's a completely different influence. Not just from the outside, but also from the inside. And if you look at that and say, no way, then you don't yet know the Spirit fully that God has given. You're not yet experiencing the fullness of what that Spirit can do in you and through you if you'll walk in relationship with him. And so the Holy Spirit comes to teach us. He says, we need to get to know the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And he says, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. You know, there are radio waves in this room. Did you know that? You don't pick those up. Actually, we're getting a little slight signal from somewhere here. But you don't pick all those waves up because you don't have a receiver turned on in front of you. He says the world cannot receive the message of the Spirit, cannot receive the Spirit, because it doesn't have that openness in their lives. They have not allowed God to implant into them, so to speak, that transmitter, that receiver of the Holy Spirit. But what he's saying here is we need to be those who would tune in to God's Spirit and walk out in his plan. In Romans 5, he actually says that there's a mindset that we have. The mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it cannot subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. If you don't get a divine tuning, He said, you will never be able to do what God wants you to do. And this is something that's important, friends, because not just as an unbeliever it's impossible, but even as a believer, if you don't have your mind set on the Spirit, you'll get lists and lists every time you look at the Bible and go, I just can't do that stuff. That is not what God's intention for you is to get come out with a list. He wants you to develop a relationship. And so he says this. He says, now, the world cannot see him or know him, but look at verse 17, the end of it. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The very life of Jesus Christ comes to you in the person of the Spirit because life comes by the Spirit. That's a key principle, friends, that life comes by the Spirit. It doesn't come simply by reading your Bible. It doesn't come by simply going to church. It doesn't come by anything but God. God's life cannot be lived apart from God's power. He's designed it that way. If you're trying, I'm here to tell you something. You're failing. It only comes by trusting. And trusting that life power and that source in your life. Jesus came to Nicodemus, probably considered the preeminent teacher, the ruler of the Jewish leaders. And he says, hey, you are amazing, Jesus. We know you came from God. And he says, dude, you got to get born again. I mean, Jesus didn't mince words with him. He says, you don't have what you need. You've got to get born again. There has to be a spiritual transformation in your life. He was already very religious. He was already very educated, but he was very dead. And he says, I'm going to come and be in you. Verse 19 says, after a little while, the world will see me no longer, but you will see me. And because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. There is a life that comes by the Spirit and he comes to live it out in you and live it out through you. It's not for you to try and tie it on like some Christmas ornament. Okay, I'm going to put this on and I'll look better as a Christian. I'll put this on and I'll look better. He says, no, as you walk in relationship with him, that fruit is born out through your life. He produces that. Trees don't sweat to bear fruit. It's the natural produce of the life that's inside. And the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness that you know you want, that you know you want to see produced in your life, that comes by not struggling to make those things happen, but by trusting God to produce those things in your life, by turning it over. Jesus said this in John 6:63. Would you read it with me? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. The flesh profits what? That's pretty simple, isn't it? But why can't we get over that? We are really hung up on ourselves, aren't we? I think I can do better. I'm getting it. No. I need to receive it. Because the Holy Spirit is an indwelling tutor. It's not just a little radio receiver, you know, like your Bluetooth wireless. You got a little, you know, God gives you a signal. You know, it's an internal desire, he says, that he comes to put inside of you and to instruct you. And he says this, did you notice that in verse 16? He'll be with you how long? Forever. He doesn't say, I'm going to come with you and as long as you walk with me, I'll be with you. No, he says, I'm going to be with you forever. When you are born of God, get me on this. This is a critical factor to being able to walk effectively as a believer. When you are born of God, you forever become a child of God. I have three sons. They bear the DNA of their mother and father forever. They can disown us. They can act like they're not of us. I may not always like them. Doesn't matter. They are my children, and I do like them. I love them. I got great kids. Not always perfect, but their dad isn't either, so what do you expect from them? Okay? But the issue is it doesn't matter about your choice. When you are born into a family, you are in the family forever. And that means right now. You say, well, I'm not walking as God's child. Okay, doesn't mean you're... I didn't always walk as Robert and Irma's child. Okay? But I am still there in that place. I'm what? I'm their disobedient son, their wayward son, their rebellious son. And soon to be, if you're God's child, what? His disciplined son. Isn't that right? But you're his because of the Spirit of God. When he puts that new life in you, you are forever God's. And I tell you that this morning because some of you may be in that spot where you say, you know what? I would just as soon run away. I can tell you this. You can go ahead and run. But your Father's never going to let go of you. He's never going to forget you. And he will always forgive you. And he'll always welcome you back. That's an awesome Father. That's who he is. And so that life comes to us by the Spirit. And that very indwelling comes. He seals us, it says, for the day of redemption. And then, so don't quit on God, because God won't quit on you. But when that Spirit comes inside, that's what gives us the life to live out God's will. That's why he says, you wait. Remember that when Jesus told him that? You wait till the promise of the Spirit comes. Don't try anything until you got my Spirit. Romans 8:11 puts it this way. Read it with me. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That is an amazing verse. Dwell on that. Think about that. He says he's going to give life to your body through the Spirit inside of you. That's a relationship issue, friends. I need to be responding to him, and he will do that, which I am frustrated about not seeing done. I mean, you don't have to go to my sons or my wife to get a list of the things that I need to be doing. I can get you that list. I'm aware of things that God wants to be working on in my life. But the neat thing is I can begin pouring that out. And so each day when I meet with him, when I open up the word, I'm saying, Father, that's the truth. Remember, we gave you those questions last week. You asked those questions. Hey, that's the truth. That's the promise that you made. That's the command that you gave. That's the sin that you told me to stay out of. I agree with you about that. Produce that in me. See, that's that back. You're responding back to him in relationship. And so I pray back the principles of the Word of God. That's how I work it. And I believe it's what brings about a gradual transformation. He will give life to your mortal body. It's the same thing he's saying here in verse 19. He says, because I live, you will live also. Like, because I'm alive, you're going to be alive. I will empower you. I will give you that very life. Now understand this, because sometimes I hear people talk strange about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a power tool. He's a powerful person. He's not something that you manipulate so you can be stronger. He's someone you walk with so that you can grow up. You walk with him. He says, walk by the Spirit. It is a walking out relationship. And the thing with walking is kind of funny, is if you ever notice that you can only take one step at a time. Now, some of you have tried to do more than that, and you found out what happens when you do, isn't that right? You know, you can take one step at a time. There's one choice at a time that God wants you to take, and you say, okay, what is the choice for me today? And you step forward with him, and each step you take, you begin walking forward with God in relationship. But then he says something else, and it's pretty interesting that Jesus moves very directly right into this. He says in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is the one who loves me. Start that over. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. He who has and keeps loves me. Remember we talked last week about that being doers of the word. We can deceive ourselves. I read my Bible, so I am now a good Christian. This world is tired of the hypocrisy of Christians claiming to be something that they're not. They want to see us be who we really are and be doer of the word. He says, he who has it and keeps, interesting, loves me. Now that's a curve in my logical line of thinking. I say, he who has it and my commandments and keeps them, he's the obedient one. He's the good kid. That's not what he says. He said, he's the one that's living in right relationship with me. He's the one who has a heart for me. And so I want you to see this, because this is oftentimes not the way we were trained by our parents. And so we got to relearn this stuff. Okay. It's love that motivates obedience. Devotion produces obedience. A lot of times, I got to say for me sometimes that fear sometimes produced obedience. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know? Or wanting to get something produced obedience. But it wasn't always a love relationship. God says it's a love relationship that'll produce obedience in you. Friends, can you put it very simply? Love obeys. When I trust the Father, when I trust Jesus, I will obey him. And so in this 21st verse, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one that loves me. The obedience relationship that God invites us to have must flow from the heart, not just the head. It's not just a head knowledge thing. Romans 16:17. Read this with me. Thanks be to God, though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. Paul says, hey, I'm thanking God that you became an obedient person because your heart changed. Now understand this, if your heart doesn't change, you haven't become obedient the way God wants you to be. Because I'm guessing that some of you veterans here this morning could remind us of the fact that you were obedient many times. You gave the salute, you gave the yes sir, you did what you were told, but it wasn't from the heart. I had someone just tell me that the other day. He said, I was a soldier in name only. He says, I hated every minute of it. Okay? What's that tell you? His heart was not in it. And I know Christians that are like that. Their heart's not in it, but they will do what they have to do. You're not walking with Jesus when you're doing that. You're not. You may be doing stuff that he put down here we should be doing, but you're not really walking with Jesus. Think about this. When my heart changes, I believe my attitude, my affections, and my actions will all be impacted. And my attitude doesn't change. My heart has not yet been transformed. And I'm here to tell you, I have far more trouble with the inside than I do with the outside. You guys relate to that? That's where the work is. That's why it has to be an internal walk. I have to walk that out with him in my daily conversation. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Because you're always needing his influence. You're always needing his guidance, his direction. But love will motivate a change. You take a man who is single, doing whatever he wants to do, give him a love interest, and all of a sudden, this guy changes his clothes. All of a sudden, he shows up for work. All of a sudden, he does all sorts of things because he wants to accomplish a level of relationship. He wants to move into something different. It changes women too. I've seen women go to football games that can't stand football. Why? Because they want to be with someone. And love will change you. It changes our motivations. Because what you love controls you. You might love your freedom. You might love your ability to control your life. You might love alcohol. You might love sex. You might love money. You might love any number of things. But whatever you love is going to control your life. I'm here to tell you, love Jesus and you'll have everything you need in life. Just love Jesus. We need to let Him control us. We need to turn it over to Him. Friends, look at this. He says next, Judas Iscariot, not Iscariot, said to Him, Lord, what then has happened that You're going to disclose Yourself to us and not to the world? Because there in verse 21, He says, I'm going to disclose Myself. The one that loves Me, the one that obeys Me, I'm going to disclose Myself. Look at Jesus' answer in verse 23. And Jesus answered Him and said, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word. And My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love Me does not keep My words, but the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. He wants to teach you. He wants to bring these things to mind. He wants to build this kind of relationship. But notice what happens when love begins to make you obey. Love builds relationship. Obedience builds relationship. When you begin to do what God tells you to do, you enter into a different relationship. He says, I will disclose Myself to Him. It means to reveal. It means to manifest. It means to show in some detail. You see, we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is extremely small, extremely narrow. He says, but if you'll begin walking this out with Me, He says, I will show you more of Myself. See, I'm not talking about a process of becoming more of a Christian. You are a Christian the moment you choose to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, turn over the controls of your life to Him, you become a believer. But you become a person who experiences life with Him in a greater level as you go along. Because when you chose to make a commitment to a relationship, say like marriage, and you step into it, and you find as soon as you get married that person that you thought you had everything in common with and that you knew all about, yeah, kind of some, right? There's a whole lot more to know than what you knew before you got married. And that comes out of love. The obedience in a relationship, you reveal stuff. Think of it this way. God is willing and eager to reveal more of Himself to you. That's what the book says. You look all the way through here, God is into revealing Himself. He is always showing up, even when people didn't want Him to show up. But He's waiting for you to respond to what He's already showed you. Tell me this, when you're in a relationship with somebody and they haven't responded well to what you've already told them about you, do you want to take them into the deep inner closets of your life? Nah, you're locking the door. You're not taking them any farther, are you? You're that relationship, and you've got relationships that are acquaintances, you've got relationships that are friends, and you've got relationships that it's family, whether they're related or not. And what's that based on? It's based on how they've responded to what you've revealed to them, isn't it? A lot of it is. How are you responding to what God has revealed to you? How are you responding even to the written revelation that He's given? Are you saying, I want to get to know you so I'll read it? Are you saying, I ain't got time for that? You're saying, you ain't got time for God? Remember He said here, He says, the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me. He says, this is God's stuff. This is Dad's stuff. And if don't think this is just about Me telling you this. This is about the Father. And He wants to have this relationship with you. He says, we'll come and we'll make our abode with Him. There is both disclosure and residence. Is God at home in my body? I got to think about that at times. The Bible says that my body is the temple of the living God. But is He comfortable there? Because haven't you been in people's houses that they welcomed you, but you didn't feel welcome? You know, that you were there, but you didn't feel comfortable. You had to behave a certain way, or you just... Jesus will always be on His best behavior. Because that's the only kind of behavior He's got. All right? But is it okay for Him to be holy in your life? You ever think about it? What did that little short dude think when he said, "Hey, I'm going to your house today"? Zacchaeus. Gotta go change some paintings. Gotta put some magazines away. Turn that computer off. Jesus is in your house today. Is he welcome there? When you open up the Word of God, it will speak to you. The Bible says that the Bible is the living and active Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4. Look at this. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. Ouch. That's pretty intimate relationship. And he says, there's no creature hidden from his sight. All things are open and laid bare with the eyes of whom we have to do. God already sees everything about you and has already loved you enough to die for you. Why not join in relationship with him? That's what he's saying. But Jesus says here, your response to the word is your response to Jesus. Isn't that how you take it, parent? You provide an instruction to your child. They don't follow your instruction. Do you just say, "Oh, they didn't obey those words"? No, what do you say? "They didn't obey me. They're disrespecting me." We tend to take that very personal, don't we? That's what he says. He says, your response to what I've said is your response to me. That's why we must become people of the book. Whether you're a reader, whether you're a listener, the resources are available to us to become people who know what he says. But then it's not just knowing, it's the doing. I sat down with a man here some time back, and he was sitting across from me at the desk, and he had his intended sitting with him, and he was telling me what a committed man of God he was and how he had given his life to Christ, that Jesus Christ was the Lord of his life. And I had in front of me the premarital questionnaire that I do, and it asks for addresses. A little sneaky pastoral question. And their addresses were the same, but they were not yet married. And so I said, "Hey, I noticed your addresses are the same. Are you guys living together already?" You know, that's never fun for the preacher to ask that question, by the way. I don't get no pleasure out of that one. And they're like, "Well, yeah." And I'm like, "I thought you said Jesus Christ was the Lord of your life." "Well, he is." "Hello?" And I took him to this verse. If you want to go with me, I'm going back to 1 Thessalonians 4. But it's powerful for any issue. So it works for that one real well. Some of you got people like that you want to talk to. This is the one you can share. 1 Thessalonians 4, in love. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 says, "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he rejects this is not rejecting man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you." The four verses that are before that talk about possessing your vessel in honor and sanctification, not in immorality. And so I just said, "Hey, this isn't my idea. I didn't come up with the rules for marriage. God came up with these rules." But he says here, if you reject this, what? It's not you're rejecting the preacher. He says you're rejecting the Holy Spirit who gave it to you. Now, if it's true of this verse, guess what? It's true of any verse. That when you take what the Holy Spirit wrote, remember, he's the one that wrote the book, right? The Holy Spirit's the author. If we take what he wrote and we reject it and say, "That doesn't relate to this. I don't want to do that." At that point, I have grieved the Holy Spirit. I have quenched the Holy Spirit. I have rejected him. And he says, you're not going to experience that same level of relationship. You can change a temperature in the room. Is this true, ladies? You can change a temperature in the room by one bad insult in an evening. Can change a whole evening, can't it? Man, oh man. The whole thing just changes, just like that. How do you respond to what he says? You see, when we're going down the road of life and he says something, we need to be open to that. I mean, my wife and I have had so much fun learning to work this through. Because I got a wife that loves me enough to tell me the truth. I think that's a good thing. Occasionally, I call her the Holy Spirit's assistant, okay? You know, bring in that level of conviction into your life, you know? But one of the ways that it was always challenging for us was in driving. And I like to use the full resources of all the road and all the engine, okay? I'll just leave it at that. But so we're driving down the road, and you know, you're coming up, and there's a speed limit sign there, and you know, the wife will just say, hey, speed limit's 55. And I've now learned to say thank you. Well, why is she drawing that to my attention? Because she wants to control me, right? No, because she loves me, and she knows how upset I'm going to be if I get the little red and blue light thing going on behind me, all right? So she, out of compassion for me, draws my attention to that. And if I reject that, is it going to change our relationship? Yeah. Trust me. Just take it from me. It does. Okay? But, you know, some of you have never even worked this very simple point through, so I'm going to encourage some of you guys to work on that. Okay? But that we would say, I will respect one another in relationship about these kind of issues. You know, it's an amazing thing. Out here on 199, I think they figured out that everybody west, south of the river, the speedometer broke. Because when you're driving to town out here, you know, you go down there, there's the sign. And, of course, automatically you guys just slow down for the sign, right? And then you got that little solar radar gun with a little projector on it, right? That says how fast you're going. Why? Is everybody's speedometer break? They need somebody to tell, oh, hey, you're going that fast. Look, that's the same thing it says on my odometer. I didn't even know that. But see, when the Spirit brings something to your attention, how do you respond to him? That's going to determine the level of relationship. That's what I'm talking about today. If you haven't heard anything else, that's what I'm talking about. When you hear something from him, whether it comes from a spouse, a child, another believer in small group, the Spirit speaks truth. When he speaks truth to you, your response is going to determine your relationship. Transformation occurs as believers submit their hearts to the Spirit's teaching. That's what I'm trying to say, friends. That God expects you to say, yes, sir, and then come from the heart. In Proverbs 1:23, it says this, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. If you want to experience more of God, there may need to be a turning in your life. Where is he talking to you about that? Friends, God has a plan for you to experience regular obedience, to experience victory, to experience a growth like you have never imagined. He really does. Are you willing to open up the door to that? We sang a song about that. It came right out of a verse of Scripture which says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Isn't that what he's saying right here in John 14? Yeah, I want to be in your life. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, today I would say, it's the day. Will you do that today? You say, okay, I'm tired of holding back. I'm going to turn it over. But you know what? I'm speaking to a bunch of people who've already done that. I'm excited about this family. But I want you to know something. If we will begin to walk with the one you've invited in, it will change the way we impact this culture. Because when he comes in to abide, and he says to disclose himself. When he manifests himself, light shines forth from you because he's inside. When you let his light shine out, we will impact our community with the love of Christ when we let the love of Christ impact us. So your response to the Holy Spirit is going to determine how much of his life other people see, how much of his fruit they get to eat off of your life tree. You see, the fruit that a tree bears, it's not for itself. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control that God wants to produce in you is not for you. It's to bless those around you. True? Let him bless. And hear this. There's neighbors around you. There's coworkers around you. There's friends that you have that have no hope. They're without God in this world. And you are God's plan to reach this world. He's got no other plan. You're his plan. You can go do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want to go. But I'm here to tell you this. You are God's plan to reach this world. And so am I. And I'm glad to be in the process with you. Let's walk with his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you. For truth. It just keeps amazing me how clear you've made this book. And how compassionate you are to a rebel like me. I don't deserve the honor to stand in front of your people. But I thank you for it. And I would ask that you would so work in my life that they would be encouraged by the manifestation of your life in me to follow after you. And Father, I would ask that you would work in this congregation that we would so love you that we would obey. That our hearts would be changed. That people around us would wonder, what is going on with you? You're different. Even if we've been Christians for 20, 30 years, will you begin a radical transformation by your Spirit? Transform us with the truth, I pray. Let us say yes, sir, to you. And right now, believer, while your head's bowed, is there a spot where you've been saying no and rejecting the Holy Spirit? Did you just turn that over to him? Whatever you say, Lord, I will do. Wherever you send me, I will go. That's what it means to make him Lord. Will you acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life today? That's his desire. It may mean a coming back. There's no better person to come back to. And if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, today I would ask you, will you open the door to let him in? Do you need to? You can tell me by simply raising your hand saying, I need to let Christ be the Lord of my life. I need to do that. Will you tell me that? Father, thank you that you gave us a Savior. We love you for that. Open our hearts to let him fully live through us. Amen.